From the epistle of blessed Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, joy to you in the Lord at all times. Once again, I wish you joy. Give proof to all of your courtesy. The Lord is near. Nothing must make you anxious. In every need, make your request known to God, praying and beseeching him and giving him thanks as well. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all our thinking, watch over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" He admitted the truth without concealment, admitted that he was not the Christ. "What then?" they asked him. "Art thou Elias?" "Not Elias," he said. "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said, "Tell us who thou art, that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What account dost thou give of thyself?" And John the Baptist told them, "I am what the prophet Isaiah spoke of, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, straighten out the way of the Lord." The Pharisees, for they were Pharisees who had come on this errand, asked him, "Why dost thou baptize then, if thou thyself art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I am baptizing you with water, but there is one standing in your midst of whom you know nothing. He it is, who though he comes after me, takes rank before me. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his shoes." All this happened in Bethany, that is beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Bethany where John was baptizing is different than the Bethany, which would be spelled differently in Hebrew, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. This Bethany is the place of passage, which is what it means in Hebrew, and would be the crossing over, a place of the crossing over under Joshua of the people into the promised land. And the dynamic then is what happened here, because that event would prefigure what Christ would be doing, but John the Baptist himself is preparing those for what the Christ is calling them to, a life in Christ. And it's intriguing for our consideration, this world reality as we see it. If you were to go to that place today, as some of us have, there is where the Protestants will have their little place of baptizing down the way. But across the Jordan, and this is near where it all begins, there's an old Orthodox church of St. John the Baptist, which is a beautiful structure, but abandoned because it's surrounded by mines, minefield, because of the war in the 1960s. And so it is intriguing to consider how all that whole area is fenced in with abandoned places and an area that is difficult to get to. Today, perhaps an indication of the reality of how difficult it is to get to Christ, and not because Christ makes it difficult, but because we do. We make it difficult because of the great enemy that we all face within ourselves, and that is pride. The pride to believe that I can decide what the Messiah is and how he will be. Think about what we considered last week, and it's always worth our consideration when we look at John the Baptist, how those disciples that John the Baptist had sent to Jesus, as John the Baptist knew his end was near, they absolutely refused to believe Christ was the Messiah. They actually believed John the Baptist was the Messiah. And John told them he was not, and they refused to believe even John because they wanted John to be the Messiah. Remember, the first called, St. Andrew, was a disciple of John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist said, "Ecce agnus Dei," St. Andrew went to the Christ. And therefore, those who are humble will go to the Christ, but those who are prideful have their own vision of what the Messiah should be. And therefore, the authorities in Jerusalem send down the priests and Levites, and John makes it a point as we see further down, to underscore that some of these were Pharisees, because typically the priests were Sadducees. And just like many secular priests today, Sadducees, who are priests, live for the world and live for the comfort and convenience of the world and didn't believe in the afterlife, and all their efforts reflected that. So John underscores that there were Pharisees amongst them who had to report back to the identity of John, because he was drawing so many people in that the authorities in Jerusalem began to believe that he was the Messiah, because after all, the prophecies were being fulfilled where he was doing his baptizing in the Jordan. The fact that the 70 weeks the prophet Daniel had passed according to the time with regards to the transferring of the power from Judah to the king, the false king Herod. So they knew the time was right prophetically for the Messiah to be present, and therefore they believed that John was the Messiah. So they came to check on that. And ultimately, you can see by virtue of their exchange the difference between humility and pride with regards to the fact that the Levites, who are the equivalent of deacons in the church today, and the priests, the Sadducees, as well as the Pharisees, come and ask him, who are you? Because they deserve to be answered. They're entitled to an answer. Think of how many Catholics today do the same thing to the Christ himself. Not so much as saying, who are you? Although oftentimes their lives reflect the fact that they don't know who Christ is. But there's this conviction amongst many of the entitled Catholics of the Western world that Christ has to prove himself to us. Christ has to prove who he is to us, just as John the Baptist must prove himself to the priests and Levites, which would include the Pharisees. And he is very clear. Think of the temptation that perhaps the enemy would try to throw his way. But remember, John the Baptist was born without original sin. He was conceived in it. But by virtue of the presence of Our Lady Mary Most Holy to his mother, Elizabeth, at the visitation, tradition holds that John the Baptist left in the womb, not only acknowledging the presence of Christ, but because he was washed clean from original sin at that moment. So he was conceived in sin, but he would be saved from sin by virtue of being born into a sinless state. He also was a priest because he's the son of Zechariah. And ultimately, he demonstrates pure humility. I am not the Christ. So many people were following him. Even his own disciples refused to give up. In fact, we see by virtue of the Gospel of Luke, as well as what we see here in John and in Matthew, that the disciples of John the Baptist even had a rivalry with Christ, a disliking of Christ, because he was drawing so many people away from John the Baptist, the one they wanted to be the Messiah. How many Catholics today follow the example of worldlings and make something or someone else their Messiah? Again, I've actually heard Catholics say, if my dog doesn't go to heaven, I don't want to go there either. Imagine making your dog your Messiah. That life without your dog is implausible. Eternity without your dog is unthinkable. And yet those are the very people who would say, I'm going to heaven no matter what. And by the way, my dog better be going with me. The arrogance, the hubris that is beyond comprehension in the presence of the Christ, simply because many do not know Christ. They indeed come to the church and perhaps sit in the pew every single week, but they do not know Christ. It's profound with regards to what John the Baptist is saying. There's one standing in your midst of whom you know nothing. So many of us believe we know exactly what we're supposed to know about Christ, but might it be true that we're in the same position because of pride, which blinds us from the truth, that we're in the same position as the priests and Levites? Christ is standing in our midst and we don't even know it. May not be so for us, but the sad reality is there's so many Catholic churches where you would go in and you would not think Christ was present in the tabernacle, if the tabernacle is even visible in the church, because people would walk and carry on and completely ignore the master of the house. And they are convinced this is the right way to be. They are convinced this is the right way to act, and it is pure hubris, pure pride. We are so fortunate in our Lord's patience, in our Lord's mercy. But by the same token, lest we begin to become secure within ourselves, we have to be willing to challenge ourselves, to really evaluate if we know the Christ to the level that John the Baptist knows him. Because if we did know the Christ to the level of John the Baptist, we would have the same profound humility and self-abnegation that every Roman Catholic is called to. And those of you who are in the sacrament of marriage know this to be true. Married life is about putting yourself aside for the sake of your spouse, for the sake of your children, and not so that they have everything they want, but only so that they have the Christ, a knowledge and an awareness of the Christ. Think of John the Baptist's responses. Think of all the complementary realities that are there with what they suggest. Okay, if you're not the Christ, then clearly we're told that Elias comes before the Christ. Are you Elias? No. Are you the prophet then? No. Pure humility, always drawing it away from himself and to the Christ. How many of you in married life draw the attention away from yourself to the Christ? How many of you in married life actually, when you're with your spouse, speak of Christ first, and then do everything rooted in that knowledge of Christ, because that's how you're supposed to be living marriage. How easy it is for married people to forget that marriage is a sacrament of the church, and you do not live it according to your dictates. You live it according to what the church says, for it is her sacrament, not yours. And you have committed yourself to a state of life that is putting Christ first by dying to yourself in the unique relationship you have with your spouse and the children that are begotten from that relationship. And we see, by virtue of John the Baptist's humility, a perfection of what comes from humility, and that is perfection in duties of life. How John the Baptist is so dutiful that he is continuing to do the work and yet humble enough to stop his work to be interviewed by the priests and the Levites, who by virtue of tradition had every right to ask him these questions. And John the Baptist was insistent on doing so because it must be known. And that is why it is indeed confessed this way. He admitted the truth without concealment, admitted that he was not the Christ. He made certain the testimony was clear. He is not the Christ. Self-abnegation, putting himself aside for the Christ. Everything about the Christ. And therefore, all those disciples who in their pride refused to believe that he was not the Christ, indeed, would be lost in their pride. And think of how profoundly disappointed they must have been when they buried the headless body of John the Baptist, and then perhaps sat and waited for it to rise again, which it would, of course, never, ever do. That is what the enemy wants of us, complete discouragement, complete darkness, complete despair, but to follow what we believe to be the Messiah according to our own comfort level and dictates, having nothing to do with the realities of the Christ himself, who always calls us to self-abnegation, to self-sacrifice, to authentic charity. And therefore, it is of supreme import that you, especially as a laity in the sacrament of holy matrimony, understand this, that the duties of marriage are of the same caliber as all the other vocations in the church, religious and priesthood, but they're configured differently. And certainly priesthood and religious are on a different level. But marriage is far more critical than is appreciated, because the world hates the Christ. And marriage is about letting the Christ be known to the world. And the duties of marriage are not just about self-sacrifice, but in particular, the defense and the protection of the family by virtue of the father, who must not let unnecessary occasions to sin and dangers that can imperil the souls of children into the home. How many fathers are actually keeping watch at the door?
How many fathers actually know what is being looked at on the internet in their homes, which I would hold they really shouldn't even have? How many fathers really know what their children who still live at home doing, and how many fathers should be ashamed of the fact that they really don't know what their children are doing, and they really don't know what their children are thinking, and really don't know if their children have any questions because they refuse to make themselves available? And how many children are ashamed and should be ashamed for if their father is that concerned, reject and rebel against his authority and treat him as though he is anachronistic and behind the times because he endeavors to live the duties of life in accord with the will of God, which is about protecting his family? How many wives should be ashamed of robbing their husbands of that authority because they in their own pride have decided that they will make marriage in their image and likeness, and like John the Baptist's disciples, they will live it according to what is comfortable and easy for them, even though it's in their face that they're doing it the wrong way, but they insist, no, our way is better, at least in my individual situation, just as the disciples of John the Baptist refused in the face of Christ to believe that Christ was indeed the Christ. We must be mindful of ourselves and how, if we truly know the one that is standing in our midst, Jesus the Christ, then we fulfill our duties not only with attention, but with joy. And a joy that comes not from the things of the world, but from God. And therefore, it does not mean that we're always smiling and running around as though we were naive to the reality of evil. But the fact of the matter is, a joy is a peace in the heart that is beyond comprehension, that is only lost by virtue of sin and embracing sin. And that is why every family member who embraces sin, even in secret, is disrupting grace, and usually good parents know it, but sometimes cowardly parents don't want to face it and just pretend like everything is fine, therefore robbing their children of the joy that they need that would come only from forgiveness and truly being held accountable for their sins against the family and sins against the Christ in particular. In other words, the joy can be found if Christ is the center of our lives. The joy can be found if parents make Christ the center and then draw their children to the same dynamic. The joy can be found if we live in the world, you in particular as laity, with the mission of bringing them to Christ and Christ to them, instead of just living in the world as though it's a separate reality, and then you'll do the church thing on Sunday, but otherwise you'll ignore the whole reality of Christ being made known to the world, where you in particular are called to be his ambassadors in, indeed, unholy land. Be mindful that John the Baptist is the way he is because he knows the Christ, but also be mindful of this. John the Baptist in his life did not know Christ the way you do. John the Baptist did not receive Christ, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Blessed Sacrament. John the Baptist did not have a profound, intimate, and most personal relationship with Christ that is not possible outside of sharing in Holy Communion. You have all of that. Christ will today be standing not simply in the midst of this, his house, but he will be in your very soul, united to it in the Blessed Sacrament. Do you even know that he is there? What is your reaction to him? And indeed, are you trying to get to know him? Because if you do know him, you will carry out your duties not only with great joy, but with profound detail to doing it well and doing it for the salvation of souls. Will follows understanding. You have the will to do these things if you understand, that is to say, know the Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.